another potential merger could be bad news for big box stores.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Tuesday, February 19th, a day in which Office Depot stock started up almost 30% at the open on Wall Street. Office Max stock up 27% following reports that the two companies are in advanced talks to merge into one. For more, let's bring in Julie Neiman. She's an analyst with Smithmore & Company, and she's with us now from St. Louis. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Julie, it looks like we've got another potential big merger in the works here.
We're going to be seeing a lot of shotgun marriages right now, simply because they must survive. You've got weak profit margins, huge competition out in the industry, and way too many retailers out there. So you're going to have a lot of survivors. And the latest one coming down the pike, Office Depot and Office Max. Right now, it's long-awaited, long-speculated. Looks like this is going to be the next one in the works.
And they're just having trouble competing with online shopping? Is that what's going on here?
Well, Staples is really challenged along with them as well. You know, so now you've got the big superstores, Walmart, Costco Wholesale. Everybody has the stuff. Even drugstores have it. So you've got lots of competition in that space. It's hard to be a specialty retailer and a huge big box in that area when all the competition is coming out of the woodwork. And everybody can offer it as cheaply as you can.
But you mentioned the term big box there, and that makes me think there's something bigger going on here, because if you look at, I mean, Best Buy is obviously in some trouble right now. Circuit City went out of business. Linens and Things went out of business. And then now you've got these Office Depot and Office Max, these big box stores. I wonder if anybody who's on that big strip next to the highway and those big strip malls that we see everywhere in the country is safe at this point.
Well, you're exactly right. The big box model doesn't work anymore. And a large part of that has been because there were too much expansion, and you also have the internet. Everybody can shop for prices. The advantage for the big box was price competition, and they could offer everything much more cheaply than before. But now everybody happens to be in the game. And it's threatening not just big box stores, but the profit margins for all of the shopping malls that used to have these big box stores. So you're going to see a lot of shopping malls basically collapse as these go under and start consolidating.
Julie Neiman, analyst at Smithmore & Company, thanks as always.
You bet.
Well, the world's largest food company, Nestle, has been roped into the ongoing horse meat scandal in Europe. The company had to remove some beef pasta meals from stores in Italy and Spain after tests revealed traces of horse DNA. A spokesman for Nestle told the BBC the problem appears to come from one of its suppliers in Germany. Well, no state has lost more banks since 2008 than the state of Georgia. More than 80 banks there have gone under, and many of them were small community banks whose assets were tied to the housing market. Well, a new report says many of those banks wouldn't have failed if it hadn't been for a pesky financial rule. Marketplace's Jim Burris reports from Atlanta.
I buy a house for $100,000. The economy tanks, the value falls to $50,000. I keep paying on the $100,000, but the bank must report on its books $50,000. The diminished value of the asset. That's called the mark-to-market rule.
As the bottom fell out of the real estate market with that rule in place, that has destroyed in an artificial way, we believe, a lot of the capital in banks.
That's Danny Jett with the Georgia think tank Main Street Solutions. It funded a University of West Georgia study looking at the effect of the mark-to-market rule on small banks. Joey Smith conducted the research.
Context matters.
Smith found mark-to-market doesn't always paint an accurate picture of a bank's solvency.
You have to take into consideration what's happening around the bank and other banks because it's one big relationship.
Smith found in the recent crisis, banks had to unload loans that were bad on paper, and that created a snowball effect. He says if the rule isn't revisited, we're likely to see more community banks collapse in a future crisis. I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Barnes & Noble was expected to announce its financial results today, but it has pushed that date back to February 28th. Analysts are predicting that the bookseller will report a profit for last quarter, but the outlook does not look great for Barnes & Noble, as Sally Herships reports.
The company says this year its Nook will lose more than the $260 million it originally predicted.
Unfortunately, the digital side is the side that's supposed to be doing better.
Laura Owens covers publishing for tech website GigaOm. She says in addition to the bad Nook news, sales in stores and online are down.
And so all of those things combined makes it not look very good for the company.
Owens says to try to help sales, Barnes & Noble is putting more toys, games, and cards on its shelves, which means less room for books.
Who said that the offering in the store should be limited to books?
Jerry Winge teaches marketing at Wharton.
You have by far a wider selection online, at very often better prices. Why come to the store?
Which is what Winge says Barnes & Noble will have to figure out if it wants to keep its brick-and-mortar stores profitable. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally to London and the sale of an antique mirror that is, quote, very possibly haunted. The sellers say since putting up the mirror, they've woken up screaming in pain and items have been disappearing from their apartment. Paintings fell from the wall and things were inexplicably strewn across the floor. Speaking of inexplicably, the mirror just sold for $155. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.